nothing he can turn for good. Yes, he does. So let your heart believe again that he's not done with you. Greater things are still to come, 'cause his love isn't through. So let your heart believe again that he's not done with you.
Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Before I lift my cares, I will lift my arms. I wanna know you, I wanna find you in every season, in every moment. Before I bring my need, I will bring my heart. Your voice, and in the midst of pain, let me feel your joy.
You prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Good morning. Good morning, Trinity Bible Church. Welcome, everybody, to our first Sunday service for 2025. Can you believe that? Where's the? When I was younger, it was going to be flying cars in 2025. Anyways, welcome, everybody. Happy New Year. I hope you all had a great chance to celebrate Christmas and New Year's with family and friends. And your family and friends are certainly here today, too. So we're glad that you're able to join us today. For those of you who are here today, this is great. I also wanted to welcome the live stream audience who's going to be watching us from home today. So it's like, what? I guess the wind chill's maybe about 12, something like that. I looked up Lahaina, Hawaii, just to see what it was like in Maui. It's 71 degrees. And it feels like 71 degrees, and it's going up to 81 today. So our pastor is enjoying his time, but glad you all could join us today. By the way, if you're visiting here for the first time, there are connection cards in the back of the seats. If you just look ahead of you there, if you have something you want to fill out, we'd certainly like to get to know you. So if you're interested in filling out one of those cards, please go ahead and do so. I'm going to read from Scripture now, so I'm going to ask if you all could stand with me. Since it's a new year, and we're trying to do new beginnings for many of us and challenging ourselves in the coming year to grow and to learn and to serve. So right now, I was going to read a little bit about, from Jeremiah 29, one of the verses obviously we're very familiar with. But this is all about the Jewish people who had been led off into exile, and it talks a lot about even though they're in the situation that they're in and they're being disciplined for many years of not doing things they should have been doing, they were still being promised by God to do a lot of different things and that things would happen down the road for them. So there's a combination of things in here that are just really striking. So I'm going to start Jeremiah 29, starting at verse 10. It says, "For thus says the Lord, When 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place, meaning Jerusalem. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you reach, when you pray to me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. This thing has a lot of different mixed emotions for the people back then, but it kind of represents us a lot too. God will discipline us if we're not following him and we're not living according to his will. Yeah, we were having a discussion about that today with me and Bill, with talking about God's will a little bit too, and what is God's will. And a lot of us ask that question all the time. Some of us are trying to figure it out. Absolutely, I understand that. But the most important thing is when you're following God, him first in prayer and everything you do, that's God's will. And he'll let everything unfold in front of you. So let's just pray, and then we'll go ahead and sing a few songs to worship the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you, too, for the reminder, Lord, that sometimes we need to keep ourselves in check. And we confess to you, Lord, that we are not always righteous and holy. In fact, many times we find ourselves not so much that way. And we ask for your forgiveness for that. But thank you that you do forgive us and you throw our sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank you for the promises of restoration. Thank you for the promises of forgiveness. And thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, who came to the cross to die for us at Calvary. Father, I pray now that in our time of worship, that you will be blessed, that you will be glorified, that you will be magnified as we sing to you from our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is perfect. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not.
I'm sick.
He won't fail. No, He won't.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is present. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Who could imagine so
Jesus, yours is the victory.
Amen. What a song about God's grace. Woo, victory in Christ. So good to see everybody here today. Right now, why don't you say hello to someone who's back next to you? Children's church will be opening if anyone wants to send their children down to church.
So,
what's up, brother?
Stuff that's,
how you doing?
You know, good, how are you?
Good. Kimberly? Good morning, how are you? What's up, brother? I want a hug. How you doing, good?
I'm good, man.
Yeah. Good morning,
how are you? Doing?
Good morning, oh, I'm staying away.
No, it was bad.
Oh, no.
This is the ending.
And good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Oh, your trip looked great.
Yes, I had some fun in the sun.
Were you okay?
Fine.
You were healthy? You were good? No problems?
Nothing.
Awesome.
Snorkeling.
Okay. Yeah?
Jumped off the boat into the water.
How did Bentley do? Did he enjoy it?
Until the last few days, he was detoxing Wi-Fi.
Oh.
And so he's like, I'm ordering movies and room service.
Oh. But that's fun.
Whatever.
Okay.
Let's clap it out. One, two, three.
Okay, if everybody can take their seats. If I can ask everybody to take their seats. It's time for church life.
I just want to make sure there's something about them staying after the vote.
Yes. Yep. All right, let's go through church life today. So, today is the fellowship luncheon. We have our get-together, the monthly get-together. Thank you for everybody who made a special dish and brought it today. Thank you, everyone who's responsible for putting it all together and setting things up for us today as well. Everybody is welcome. So even if you didn't bring a dish, please feel free to stay, okay? After lunch, really important, probably for maybe take like 30 minutes. We need to break down the Christmas decorations. So if we can have a few people volunteer and help out. Frank, I'm putting you in charge. See Frank, but we have a couple trees, wreaths, and garland to take down. So if you can stay and help out for that, that would be great. Some additional things coming up. So we've been on a little bit of a pause for the winter break, and we're going to start things up this week. The Tuesday morning men's and women's Bible studies will begin this Tuesday, January the 7th. They're studying the book of Acts. And the Deep Dig Deeper series, which we're also studying the book of Acts, will start the following Sunday, the 12th. So if you're participating in any of those, just be aware of those dates coming up. And then the men's Tuesday night study is going to begin on January 14th. Men, if you're here and you haven't received a questionnaire to help fill out the different questions that we'll be doing as we're working through them, see Bill, and Bill's got some extra copies for you there. Let's see. So January, we always celebrate, obviously, communion. We're going to take a pause on that until Pastor Keith gets back. So on January the 19th, we're going to have our communion remembrance. And then on January 26th, on Sunday, the missions team is inviting you to participate in their homeless outreach to Delaware. As you know, we've been collecting a lot of coats, filling up blessing bags that we're going to be bringing down to the homeless people in Delaware. It's a ministry that started a few years ago, and there's a lot of really people that have this great need there. It's underneath an overpass almost, and there's people that live down there even through these cold winter months. They need help. They need support. So we're going down there as a group. We would like you to join us if you can. If you have any questions about that, you can see Andrew or Elizabeth, or you can go on the website as well, and there'll be some information on that. That's it for my announcements, and now I'm going to ask our friend Scott Schwartz to come up. Scott is ministering to the Jewish people community in Lakewood, Brooklyn, and around the world, really, in different places. But we're so thankful that you're here again today. Thanks for bringing us the word. May God bless you today.
Good morning. So I was actually admiring the Christmas lights. As Ken mentioned, I am, not only do I minister to the Jewish people, I grew up Jewish, and I was like, wow, they're still here, they're still up, I'm like really enjoying it, and now you're taking them down. I'm like, I'm gonna text Keith and say, leave them up for another month. Growing up, we didn't have Christmas, obviously. I used to say to my mom, Ma, can we have Christmas lights? No, we're Jewish, the Gentiles do that. We have 8 candles for Hanukkah, that's enough, get over it. But I really love Christmas. I married a non-Jewish woman, and Christmas is her favorite time of the year. So it's just a lot of fun, and I really enjoy being a believer in Jesus so I can celebrate Christmas as a Jewish person. Amen. Amen. So, Happy New Year. Let me say Happy New Year. I love wishing folks a Happy New Year. We get to reset, right? It's another year. Forgetting last year and moving forward is always a wonderful thing to do. Today, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. So if you have your Bible or your phone, love for you to open that up. Be looking at the text together as a family. And the title of my message this morning is Roots of Confidence, Choosing Stability in Uncertain Times. All right, Roots of Confidence, Choosing Stability in Uncertain Times. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing as we worship together. Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. And we sang song after song after song of your faithfulness, Lord, of your hope, Lord, that we have a living hope, that you have risen from the dead. Not only that, you have ascended to sit at the right hand of our Father in heaven. You make intercession for us. You see us, you hear us, and you shepherd us, Lord. Would you shepherd us this morning as we look at your word and shepherd us into 2025. Bless our time together. Encourage us, challenge us this morning as we spend time in your wonderful word. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. And I want to talk this morning with us about choosing to trust the Lord in 2025. All right? Choosing to trust the Lord in 2025. And if we're honest this morning, 2024 ended a little weird, right? If you ask me, I was meditating on the end of 2024, and who would have thought that our shore community of Manasquan, Brielle, Allenwood, Brick, Point Pleasant Beach would make national news? I get a phone call from my dad. He's in Colorado, in the Durango area. Scott, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Well, what about the drones? Oh, okay. What about the drones? I don't know, Dad. They might be, oh, they're there, they're there. They're all saying, are you all right? No, I haven't been abducted by aliens. My wife is really caught up in the whole thing, right? But I don't know if they're there or they're not. Only God knows, right? But 2024 ended a little strange. Would you agree? Yes. It ended a little weird. We made the news, which none of us wanted to make the news about drones. I actually called my friend in Washington, and he had not read the news or listened to the news, and I brought up drones, and I felt about this small. He's like, bro, have you lost your rocker? Are you drinking the Kool-Aid? So it's a little strange. 2024 ended a little weird, and 2025, unfortunately, started with a horrific event in New Orleans, right? It kind of propels us, if we let it, into fear and worry and dread, right? If we keep our eyes fixed on the world and not on the Lord, we can get quite frightened and get quite frightened quickly. So this morning, I want to start our message about trusting the Lord in 2025 with a little story for all of us. So there was a pilot flying a small plane across the country. Halfway through the journey, he encountered heavy clouds and turbulence, everyone's favorite part of flying, making it impossible to see the landscape below. To make matters worse, his instruments were unavailable, unfamiliar, and began to feel, he encountered heavy clouds and turbulence, making it impossible to see the landscape below. To make matters worse, his instruments failed, and he became overwhelmed. In that moment, he heard a calm voice come over the radio. It was an air traffic controller who had been tracking his flight. "Trust me," the controller said. "I can see exactly where you are and where you need to go. Follow my instructions, and I will guide you through this." Amen. The pilot hesitated. His instinct was to rely on his own understanding, to search for something familiar through the storm. But he realized he didn't have the full picture. So step by step, he obeyed the instructions, even when it felt counterintuitive. Eventually, the clouds broke, and he saw the runway just ahead, exactly where the controller said it would be. Every human heart is searching for something to trust in, something to rely upon in times of uncertainty. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 presents us with a stark choice. Will we place our trust in human strength or our own wisdom? Or will we root our trust in the eternal and faithful God of Israel? This brings us to our text this morning, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, and it challenges us to reflect on where we place our hope and our trust. So let's read Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8, and then we will unpack it and be encouraged by the Lord this morning. So Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 says this, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." Amen. Amen. So where are we in the midst of God's story, right? Context, if you've been to Bible college or you're a Bible student, context is king. Context is key. So where are we here? We're not going to cherry pick. Just look at this verse, a feel-good message of encouraging us to be blessed by God, by trusting in him. There is a context which will really reveal the fullness of this passage to us. So where are we in God's story? I'm glad you asked. So the background of this chapter is God is calling out to Israel, to the southern part of Israel, to Judah. The people of Israel at this point have turned their hearts away from God. They're ignoring God's commandments, and they've fallen into the sin of idolatry. Judah's been turning to false gods and foreign alliances for their protection, and they had forgotten to trust and rely upon the God of Israel, who brought them out of Egypt, who gave them his law and set them free to be a light to the world. God is speaking through his prophet Jeremiah here to get the attention of his covenant people, Israel. And as we've read through this text, you realize probably as you have observed that there is a contrast, right? There is the man that is cursed and a result of that, and there is the man who's blessed and the result of trusting in God. So here we have a contrast. Jeremiah draws a contrast between the one who is cursed, that Hebrew word is arur, and the one who is blessed, that Hebrew word is baruch. Right? This is free information. On my birth, I was circumcised, and there was a baby naming ceremony, and I was named Baruch Herschel Mordecai. Baruch means blessed, blessing. I hope I'm living up to that. Asked my mom back in the day, she'd say, no, you've changed your name. I went sideways for a while, but Baruch Herschel is like a deer, feet of a deer. Baruch Herschel Mordecai, and we know who Mordecai is. The Book of Esther, a brave man. Big shoes to follow in. So Baruch Herschel Mordecai. So Arur is cursed, and the one who is blessed is Baruch. Baruch is blessing. These two terms are also used in the great listing of curses and blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28. So God outlines in the Torah, in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, the curses that will come upon Israel if they forsake the Lord, and the blessings that God wants to bestow upon them as they trust and follow him. As we're looking at this passage, you'll notice that this passage of Scripture is in the form of a poem. There are many genres all throughout the Bible: narrative, poems, apocalyptic, right? Daniel, Ezekiel, Revelation. But here we find a poem. And you'll notice, if you are familiar with the Scriptures, that you probably might be thinking, I've heard this. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Where is that found? That is found in Psalm chapter 1. And I'm going to read through Psalm chapter 1, and I want you to notice the familiar language and the familiar imagery between this poem in Jeremiah and Psalm 1. So Psalm 1 reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord, notice this, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Aren't you glad in that final verse that it says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous? God knows your way. He knows your heart. He knows your anxieties. He knows your fears. I had to remind my wife as she's going, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, drones upon drones. I said, sweetheart, it's okay. Let's deep breathe together. She's like, I'm going to slap you. But the Lord knows, right? The Lord knows. I want to encourage us today to fix our eyes on the Lord, the good shepherd of our souls. So the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. You notice in Psalm 1, the Lord starts out with blessed and ends with cursed. In this poem, it starts out with, "Cursed is the man who turns away from the Lord, who trusts in man," right? It's good to trust in man to some degree, right? God has given us wisdom, but we ultimately need to trust in God and in his word. And here this psalm starts with curse but ends with blessing. God keeps the best for last in this psalm, and I mean in Jeremiah. So here first, we see in verse 5 and 6, as we go through this verse by verse, one, the emptiness of trusting in man, verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah shows us a stark contrast of trusting in man and trusting in God. Notice the contrast between verse 5 and verse 7. We have the life without God and a life with God. There is a comparison. Verse 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. That word hope, it shows us that there's a drawing towards something, right? I'm hoping in something. I'm being drawn. My focus is on something. I hope. I hope. I hope. Someone that does not trust in the Lord, that's trusting in man, the scripture here says his heart is turned away. There's a complete opposite. Two ends of the spectrum. One is cursed and turning away. And we're going to see the result of the person that turns his heart away from God and the person that turns their heart to God. So there is a comparison here. So God gives us a vivid picture of what a life can look like when one departs from trusting in the Lord. So first, the bad news, right? Don't you love when someone says, you want to hear the bad news or the good news? I'd love to take a poll. Do you want to hear the bad news or the good news? I like to hear the bad news, get it out of the way, and then the good news. Here's the bad news, as it were. Jeremiah lists the results of not trusting in the Lord, and it's not a pretty picture. So trusting in human strength here, Jeremiah is saying, leads to spiritual emptiness. So first, trusting in human strength compared to God's strength leads to one, spiritual emptiness. Human strength is limited, fallible, and fleeting. The prophet here compares such a person to a desert shrub. I love the pictures, the imagery that God is painting for us. Look at the bird. Do not worry, God says in Matthew. Jesus says, do not worry. But then he gives us a picture. Look at the birds. Look at Solomon. Look at the fields. I provide for all of them. I will do the same for you. So here the prophet compares such a person to a desert shrub, a lifeless, isolated plant struggling to survive in an arid land. Secondly, a person who turns their heart away from the Lord will have a poor perspective. Notice this. A person who forgets God can have a poor perspective on life's circumstances. Jeremiah says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and notice, and shall not see when good comes. Shall not see when good comes. Remember the children of Israel, they were wandering through the desert and God was providing for them. They didn't like that they were having manna day after day after day, right? My son works at Jersey Mike's Subs. I need to ask him, are you tired of the subs? He says, no, Dad, they're free. Okay. He's got good perspective, doesn't he? He's seeing God's blessing. But when we forget to trust in God, our perspective gets skewed. Here, the prophet is saying that a person who turns away from the Lord will not see when good comes. The Israelites could not see. They were murmuring and complaining, but God was with them. He had given them fire by night to warm them and a cloud by day to shield them from the sun. That was God's gracious provision, but still they murmured and complained. And we can get caught up in the same thing, and we can miss the goodness of God. I just noticed this picture here. Thankfully, that's what an iPhone can do. It's a little shaded. It's better on the computer. I took that on a sunrise in Florida, and just a picture for us to be encouraged that this is a new year, a new opportunity to bear fruit for God in 2025, no matter what happens, right? Things are going crazy, right? We're not going to get into politics, but we have a new administration happening on January 20th. And if you're like me, oh no, what's going to happen? Will there be civil unrest? We don't know. But we know that the Lord holds the future. Amen? And we can be secure in that. So a person will have poor perspective who forgets to trust in the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. If I was to ask you, who wants to be a shrub today? Nobody's raising their hand. Who wants to be a lemon tree with fruit, smelling nice, vibrant colors, right? Such a contrast. We got people waving, I want to be a lemon tree. Sorry, don't tell Tikitha I said that. Edit that out. Horrible illustration. You can laugh. They will not see good when it comes. The ESV translated, he will be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. So hear me out now. God is merciful and gracious. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. So even when we turn away and we forget and we walk away from God, he's patiently waiting for us. Not only that, the prodigal son gives us a story of God's heart. The father runs to the son when he sees him far away. That is the Lord's heart for us. But here, we just are trying to be encouraged to continue to trust in the Lord, because when we turn away, we see negative spiritual barrenness in our hearts. So God is merciful and gracious. Psalm 103 says this, he will not always accuse. I love that. Nor will he harbor his anger forever. Thank God. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Amen? Our God is long-suffering and gracious. The challenge is to not turn away from trusting God, because it can lead to not only having a poor perspective, it can lead to spiritual desolation. It can lead to spiritual desolation. Jeremiah tells us that this person will dwell in isolation in the wilderness. Isolation in the wilderness. There is emptiness. There is brokenness. It's dry and lifeless in the wilderness. A life not producing any spiritual fruit or goodness. There will be no sign of spiritual life. Everything is dead. God desires that we bear spiritual fruit. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God desires that we bear fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. Everyone around you will appreciate in 2025 if we ask the Lord to help us abide in him, because then we will have fruit to offer them. People partake of spiritual fruit. My kids and my wife love it when I'm abiding in the Lord and dad is patient, right? And not freaking out. It's going to possibly snow tomorrow. My son gets texts. Last time it snowed, he got a text. Kids are on the call. Everyone's out from school. He's shoveling. He wants to get on call. What does he do? He's 14. He runs in with his salty, snowy boots, charges in onto the wood floor. Yo, Micah, stop. Right? He doesn't listen, and I can freak out because I don't want salt on the wood floor or on the carpet that mom just vacuumed. But if I'm abiding in the Lord, Micah, stop. I'm patient. And it's funny, he challenged me. He says, you know, Dad, there's two sides of you sometimes. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, sometimes you freak out. I'm like, okay. He's like, but when you're gentle and you correct me when I've done something wrong, and you're gentle, I receive it much better. I'm like, note taken. Spiritual fruit. People partake of our spiritual fruit or the lack thereof. Amen? So we've seen, first, the emptiness of trusting man. Secondly, we're going to see the blessing of trusting God. Verse 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. Trusting, Trinity, brings hope. Amen? Trusting brings hope. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, shalom, in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the object of our hope. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says this, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance." Perseverance. Hoping and trusting in the Lord brings peace. Our hope helps us persevere in times of trial. Amen? I'll read that again. Our hope helps us persevere in times of trial. When it's dark, right? Let's just think about today. You can possibly bear the cold knowing that spring is coming. Amen? Amen. Amen to that. So trusting in the Lord produces peace. A person who trusts in the Lord, notice here, will not fear. He will not be anxious in the year of drought. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." In Habakkuk, the prophet is surveying the land, and he gives an account of what he's seeing. And it was a tough time for Israel. Again, the prophet is calling the Israel back to repentance. They were in idolatry. They had been apt to slip into not believing. And the prophet says, though there be no cattle in the field, though there be no fruit on the tree, yet I will hope in the Lord, yet I will trust in God. Amen. So in times of perseverance, times of trial, we persevere and God gives us strength. So trusting brings rest. Isaiah 30, 15 says this, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel," I love this, "in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength." In quietness and trust shall be your strength. In contrast, Jeremiah describes those who trust in God as being like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This tree has deep roots that tap into a life-giving stream. All right, it's got its nutrients. It's drawing on the living water that God has provided for it. No matter how hot the sun gets or how long the drought lasts, this tree remains green and fruitful. "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." And that is counterintuitive. How is this tree going to stay green in the midst of a drought? Correct? How is that going to happen? God says it will happen. As you trust in the Lord, blessed you will be. In times of adversity, in times of trial, in times of uncertainty in 2025, blessed are you and me who hope in the Lord. Amen? Amen and amen. So this is our life when we put our faith in God. We are not shaken by life's trials because we draw strength from an unchanging source. Jesus says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." Their peace and their joy do not depend on circumstances, but on the faithfulness of God. The person who trusts in man, his heart turns away from the Lord. But the person who trusts in the Lord, they will have hope. Human strength is limited, fallible, and fleeting. Hope in the Lord brings great encouragement to our souls. Again, Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the middle of uncertainty, God gives us his peace, which passes all understanding. The contrast of these verses between the one that does not trust in God but trusts in man, these verses are striking. The person who trusts in man, the Bible says, is dry, is barren, is unstable, while the one who trusts in God is vibrant, fruitful, and steadfast. What makes the difference? It's the object of their trust. The object of our trust is Jesus, our good shepherd. Amen? Many people at the beginning of the year, I used to not do this, but they set goals, right? People start 2025 and every new year with goals. I've done this before. I have gotten a membership to Planet Fitness. And January, February, March, over 90 days, I go twice. Thankfully, you can cancel anytime. Okay? We have a habit of setting goals as we start the new year. What steps can we take to stay rooted in the Lord in 2025? What are some steps? I have three of them. One, examine your trust. So these are your takeaway truths for today and for 2025. Examine your trust. Where do you turn in times of trouble? I'll admit, when hardship comes, sometimes the last thing I do is pray. I will do everything but pray. And the Lord's patiently waiting. Ah, okay, here you are. I was waiting. I thought you were taking a nap, God. Nope. I don't sleep or slumber. I'm here waiting for you to call on me. Is your trust in God or in your ability to figure out a solution in time of trouble, right? We can trust in man and our own wisdom and our own understanding, or we can trust in God in times of trouble. So one, examine your trust. Second, cultivate deep roots. Cultivate deep roots. Ephesians 3:17 says, be rooted in the Lord so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of the love of God. Cultivate deep roots. Abide with Jesus. Third, anchor yourself in God's word. Anchor yourself in God's word. There's the illustration of the story that Jesus tells about the man who builds on sand and the man that builds on bedrock. And the man that builds on sand, the waves come, the storms come, the drones come, right? And it says that that house was knocked off its foundation because it had no stability, no foundation, no what? Roots. But the man that builds his house on foundation, God's word, trusting, the storms came, the winds blew, the drones came, and the house stood, right? We can stand as we trust in the Lord, and God is gracious to help us do that. So anchor yourself in God's word. Anchor yourself in God's word. Sometimes when spiritual warfare happens, and there's shame, and there's condemnation. Hebrews says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one that does not condemn. It's the enemy that comes and lies. You're not good enough. You're not this. You did that. I saw you yell at your son. And my mentor always says, tell the enemy to take it up with your attorney. All right? I got a nice law firm. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit Associates. So anchor yourself in God's word and listen to his voice. My sheep know my voice. They hear me and they follow me. Amen? Listen to the voice of the shepherd in 2025. So anchor yourself in God's word like the tree planted by water. We need to root ourselves in scripture and in prayer, in fellowship. Listen, I want to challenge you, if you haven't, be honest with the Lord. Just lay it out, right? If you're fearful or whatever it might be, just have that deep conversation. Be vulnerable with the God of heaven. Just speak plainly with him. So root yourself in scripture and in prayer and in worship. These disciplines keep us connected to God, the source of life. These are waters that nourish our souls. Amen? So finally, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8 is a call to trust in God alone. It reminds us that our strength, stability, and fruitfulness depends on where we place our faith. As we abide in him, God produces spiritual fruit. Let us reject the temptation to rely on human strength and instead anchor ourselves in the one who never fails. Amen. And finally, live with confidence. Live with confidence in 2025. Trusting in God doesn't mean we won't face challenges, but it does mean we can have peace, knowing he will sustain us through every season. Isaiah 26 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." God promises to keep us in perfect peace, perfect shalom, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen. Sometimes I do a little bit of traveling, and I'm still getting used to the area here, because I grew up in Philadelphia, and I still, sometimes when I go from Point Pleasant to Brick, believe it or not, I still use Google Maps. And I just keep my eyes on Google Maps. Turn right, I turn right. Turn left, turn left. And it always helps when I have the mute button unmuted. Because if I don't have it unmuted, I'm turning right instead of left, and I'm getting lost. But God has given us the best GPS, right? As we trust in him and his word. So live with confidence. Trusting God doesn't mean we face challenges, but it does mean we will have peace, knowing that he will sustain us through every season. As we reflect on these verses, let us commit to shifting our trust from ourselves to the one who never fails. May we in 2025 be like a tree planted by the streams of water, drawing life and strength from our faithful God. Jesus says this, my favorite scripture when I first came to know the Lord. It's in John 14, 27. I give this to you. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Amen? Neither let it be afraid. Don't worry about the drones. Don't worry about the inauguration on January 20th. If you are, I get a little fearful. What's going to happen? What will 2025 look like? But the Lord will shepherd us through everything. Oh, back to our story from the beginning, the one that I butchered in the beginning, right? We can laugh about that. Laugh. Back to our story. Remember, the pilot lost his navigation tools and started to feel overwhelmed, didn't he? And then came the voice. Then came the voice, a calm voice over the radio. It was the air traffic controller who had been tracking his flight. Trust me. The controller said, I can see exactly where you are and where you need to go. Follow my instructions and I'll guide you all the way home. Amen? Amen. I will guide you all the way home. Listen for God's voice. He is speaking and he will guide us every step of the way in 2025. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you so much for the GPS of our lives, which is ultimately your word. Lord, I thank you that you speak to us, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you do not change. I thank you that you neither slumber nor sleep. And as we enter 2025, we trust you to shepherd us and to lead us and to bless us with spiritual fruit, that we would be a blessing to others. Lord, thank you. May you bless these folks today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord turn his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah, amen and amen. 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 So now I'm going to pray. We have a little fellowship lunch, correct? So I'm going to say the blessing. I'm going to do a little something different. I'm going to say the Jewish blessing for us. I'm going to say the Hamotzi, the Jewish blessing. I'll say it in Hebrew, then I'll translate it. Then I'll say the English blessing of grace over our meal, and then we'll be dismissed. Amen? So Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz Bashem Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah. And Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our worship service. Thank you for the food that you're providing for us. Bless all those that prepared it, Lord. Thank you for 2025 and all that you have in store. Bless our fellowship. Bless Pastor Keith and Claudia and their family. Bring them home safely. And bless Trinity Bible Church to bear much fruit for you, to give you glory and honor and praise in 2025. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you guys.